Hello.
Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, if it isn't the man with the coolest name in rock and roll, Johnny Fox, what's going on, my man?
Well, it's, I mean, I didn't even have to change my name. It's like I was born with it.
Exactly.
So. Otherwise, I'd just be some jerk pretending to be somebody I'm not.
Your parents would have known the second you came out. You just looked at that guitar. They knew for some reason. A nurse brought a guitar into the operating room. But
so, yeah. Well, most people don't know this. I have a scar that says Johnny Fox on my head. It's kind of like a Harry Potter. Never mind.
I gotcha. It's, it's like the mark of the beast if we flip up the back of your hair.
Yeah.
There you go. So how are you on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon, John?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
Yeah. Are you down in the Schwa? Are you out in Toronto? What's going on?
We're in the Schwa right now. We have a couple days off before we're back out doing some more gigs. So we're just kind of chilling, taking care of some logistics stuff for our dates down in the U.S. and kind of getting like paperwork stuff ready and all that sort of all the back end stuff that needs to happen before we can just step on a stage. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, I guess like you got to get everything in order because like you're going down there to work. So you got to have your passport. You got to have some sort of visa, right?
Exactly. Tons of stuff, man. There's tons of stuff. I got to get more guitar strings. I gotta, yeah. There's so many little things that go into it. But it's like we love it. So it's like all that stuff is just, you know. It's a lot of work, but it's all fun work because we get to step on a stage and perform.
And you just did. You rocked out Hamilton just the other night on Sunday.
Yeah. It was fun.
No
doubt. Great.
Now, are all the shows with Saint Asonia?
No.
Okay.
We're doing some headlining stuff on our own, like a few dates here and there. So the last three shows we did like a headlining thing, and we have. Just some support acts and stuff on the bill as well, which are great. They're really, really good bands.
Cool.
So it's kind of, we're out there being active beyond the Saint Asonia stuff, but, yeah, we can't wait to hit the stage with them. They're a fantastic band.
Oh man, they're great. And they're hometown boys too. I mean, you got Kale and Adam Gonche just from here in Peterborough. So of course they're going to bring out the whole hometown crowd getting ready for Saint Asonia and the Standstills. This is May the 19th at the venue. There are tickets available, but they are going fast.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Now, also, you guys got a new single that's also coming out just after that. We're going to get Right.
Yeah.
That's coming out on May the 20th?
Yeah, it's a song that we kind of wrote during this whole shitstorm. It's like... We like to call it like it's like a call to a better life. I think like, you know, what a lot of people have gone through and even us, like it's been, you know, like I said, it's like a shitstorm for the most part. And I feel like what happens is when we're kind of thrown a wrench like this, it's like you take a step back and kind of look at things in your life and trying to, you know, it's like, what can we do towards like a better life, you know, and little things that little adjustments here and there. And I, you know, that sounds like I'm like in a therapy session right now, but it's basically just like, it's like that. It's kind of like, it's like an anthem sort of ballady tune towards, doing something better for yourself, I guess.
Gotcha. So, you know, getting back to normal and appreciating life and trying to do something a little better for yourself now that we're coming out of this whole storm.
Yeah, exactly. So it's and I feel like it's like, you know, and it's like kind of getting right, getting back to the enjoying the stuff that we love the most. You know, it's because there's so much stuff out there that's just clouding a perspective and stuff. And it's, you know, what we find is at least for me as a writer and stuff, it's like listening to music and stuff is even the action of getting right. And it's like enjoying live music, enjoying listening to rock music and albums and stuff and going down those rabbit holes and enjoying your life that way and just kind of pushing the cloudy stuff out and just like, you know, like that to me is like getting right. And so it's like a song that just kind of touches on that. But yeah, man, it's been the, we have this brand new album, and we're extremely excited for everybody to hear it. So with this new song coming out, It's just another taste of something that we put together that we feel, you know, fans of ours will really, really enjoy, you know?
So when is the album coming out, the full album?
We're talking about releasing it in the fall, but we're still kind of having discussions about that because we're working through more tour dates and stuff. And the planning has been tricky because of everything that's happened, obviously. But that's the discussion right now, is the fall. However, we're definitely going to be releasing more music before that.
Gotcha.
Beyond now, this single.
Now, the song we're going to hear next is Pretty Little Broken Things. Where does that song come from?
It's like, both Renee and I, like, I grew up in Oshawa, and
so
Renee
did I.
Was in, So I like when I was younger, a lot younger, and I couldn't, like, I wasn't even of age really to go into bars and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I used to volunteer at the dungeon.
Yeah. Underneath Laser Quest.
Yeah, man.
Dude.
So I used to, you know that spot. It's like this, the dungeon in Oshawa is like this, like the iconic spot for like these like bit like grungy rock shows, punk rock stuff. And it's like, you know, it's, I remember bands like
Billy Talent, Sum 41, Alexis on Fire. All of these guys started playing the dungeon in Oshawa underneath a Laser Quest. It was an amazing venue.
Yeah, dude. So when I was really young, I used to volunteer there and just help the sound guy, like wrapping cables and doing whatever. And that was my opportunity to see bands and stuff when I wasn't of age, really. It was probably still illegal for me to be there, but I was there anyways.
There was a lot
working.
Of illegal things that happened at the dungeon.
Yeah, exactly. So, like when we, you know, looking back on why getting, like, I got into music and stuff, and it's like loving those shows at the dungeon. And that was like my first taste of what the lifestyle was all about too, you know, like, and seeing like, there was such a heavy punk scene at the time, like even Billy Talent, like they were coming up from punk, and like Lexus on Fire has that sort of, they have that edge, obviously Sum 41, they're like the pop punk band. And so with Renee, she was going to Call the Office in London, and Call the Office is very similar to what the dungeon was, and having these big loud rock shows and stuff. So we wanted to write a tune that speaks to that lifestyle that was happening at the time, and kind of like the first moments for us seeing that sort of stuff, like and that was, it speaks to our youth, really.
Okay.
So Pretty Little Broken Thing is kind of like one of those stories about like that sort of like lifestyle, where it was like, it was at points there was so much anarchy happening at these shows.
Oh yeah.
And so like I wanted to write something where it was like, this was the stuff that like I grew up on, this like edgy, you know, like we weren't going to these like soft seat venues and stuff. Like we were in places where like you could barely walk because your feet are so stuck to the ground from all the beer over, like, and the, like, you know, like, but the music was so full of passion.
Yeah. So raw.
Yeah. And it was like going to a zoo or something, like where just all the wild animals were let out of their cage. We wanted to write a tune that was about that. Pretty Little Broken Thing is that song, you know, like that's our dungeon. That's our, Call the Office. You know, it was, we finally wrote a tune that speaks to the dirty grungy shows of our youth, sort of thing.
The dirty schwas. Okay. So how does how does a punk rocker from Oshawa meet a punk drummer from London? How does this connect?
We met at a music program at a college, at a Fanshawe College. So I wanted to get into music somehow, and I was playing, like, I went through like multiple bands before making this decision, and like I used to do solo acoustic stuff, and just because it was the only thing I could do at the time. But and then I had an older brother that took this program, and he was working at a label in Toronto, and I used to take the GO Train out and go to shows all the time with him. So I was like, I want to get into the music scene however I can, like playing, performing, or just doing something. So he's like, well, if you take this program, you'll get enough connections, you can talk to people, and it'll open up your opportunities to do something more. I was like, great, because I saw what he was doing. So I jumped into music industry arts, and that's where I met Renee, and we just hit it off. Like, we were going out to shows and stuff together at Call the Office, like funny enough.
Ah, so you moved down to her, and then she showed you the punk rock ropes of London.
Yes,
Ah.
exactly.
See, I'm writing the
But it
love
was
story
like,
here as you talk.
yeah, exactly. But it was like, it wasn't, it was, I mean, we say punk rock, but it was like, dirty rock, stoner rock sort of stuff. Like, we were going out seeing, like, there was a band, Bionic, out of Montreal. It was like a hardcore band. And but yeah, that's what, so we met in at Fanshawe in London, and I think, like, whereas a lot of people will get into production or engineering or like management or agent stuff, we found ourselves always going back to writing and being on the creative side. And that's kind of like what has led us to this point. We're just like following what our true passion is, and just never looking back, and just wanting to do the best, create the music that we love, and bringing that to the world for other people to hopefully love it as much as we do. But that, like, that's the whole pursuit, I guess.
All right, we got the backstory for the biopic. Good stuff.
Yeah, there
Now,
you go.
was it
There's the
always just the two
backstory.
of you guys going out? Was there ever anybody else in the band in the original form?
No, we started as a two-piece, just because, like, we tried a couple of different people in the beginning. It just didn't feel right. Like, it's hard to explain other than just how that as itself, like, the feeling of it wasn't there. They were great musicians and they were great people, but it didn't feel, there wasn't the connection that Renee and I were sharing creatively. And so we started it as a two-piece. Like, when we first started, I was playing a broken acoustic through a Marshall stack, and it was like this like crazy gnarly sound thing that we were kind of putting together, and it was just like pure chaos. We loved it. And I mean, like, I think that's how it started. So we never really looked at it any different. Like, we just wanted to do what we love to do. And I think that, we never really thought of it business wise. We were just like, we're just going to go out and rock out, and that's it. Like, to us, that meant that was the whole point of it all. Like, it was just, we should just be doing what we love to do. So we just pursued it as a duo. But until now.
Exactly.
When
So
we, yeah.
this is what I was getting to. Okay, my favorite little duo from Oshawa. Well, my second. I don't know, both of you, Crownlands and you guys being the duos from Oshawa. But how did Chuck Daly all of a sudden join into the Standstills?
Well, we just got to, with the time that we had, we got to entertain the idea again about doing something more, because we do, like, we love the two-piece thing, and there's a certain energy about it, but we're always trying to grow as like artists and grow creatively and stuff. And we know adding, if we find an extra element here or there that fits that growth perfectly, then it's like we know we're stepping it up to the next level, and we're always trying to pursue that. So with what happened with Chuck is, we going into the studio, we were just going to hot like bring somebody in to run some bass lines underneath the guitar, which is what I do with the octave pedals in the live setting. But in the studio, it's a different beast. Like, sometimes the octave pedals get a little funky, and so we just run bass lines, which is the exact same thing as what the octave pedal is doing. It's just a little more cleaner, if that makes sense.
I get a little bit of
But
it. I'm not too much of a musician, but you know, I'm getting your bass line. So he's joining is he joining you now on all the live dates?
Yeah. So when we brought him in, we auditioned a bunch of people, and when we got his stuff back, it was just like, this is like unreal. This guy's like, he's this super talented guy who's running these different sort of lines underneath our music, but it's adding a different voice to the songs, an extra voice to the songs, I should say. And so we fell in love with it. Like, we fell in love with the bass lines that he was putting down. And so we asked him to join us. Like, we were like, we heard something so incredible in what he was doing. And we wanted everybody else to experience it too.
So wasn't he also doing stuff with I Mother Earth?
Yeah, so he's like, he played with I Mother Earth for, I think, 15 years. And that's where we first met him, and how we had his contact and stuff. Like, he was like, if you guys ever want to try a bass player out, he's like, here's my number, you know. But so we met him through I Mother Earth. Originally, he was in the Salads.
Right.
Yeah.
I love the Salads. Another band I saw in the dungeon.
Yeah, exactly. So he's like, he's this dude. He's like our Pat Smear. You know what I mean? Like, he's like this, like, he's this dude who was in the scenes before we were, and he just crushes it. He's so talented. And so we're very fortunate and happy to have him be a part of what we're doing. But yeah, he's joining us on all of these shows. So it's the evolution of us with Chuck.
And it's going to be a very interesting year for you guys, because right after this tour, you're going down in the States, but then at the end of the year, you're going out with 3 Days Grace. So you're going to get both sides of two great Peterborough bands with Saint Asonia and 3 Days Grace. So this is, you guys are smack dab in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We actually, we had, Neil Sanderson of 3 Days Grace, the drummer.
Great guy.
He produced our new album.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so we've been friends for a long time, and we did some co-writing a little while back, and with all the time we had, we found ourselves like getting together and writing and doing stuff together. And he is he's always like, he's done a lot of stuff in studios, and he has a new company that he's working with, Howard Benson. It's like Judge and Jury company. So he's like Howard's one of the best producers, American producers of all time. And Neil's like his second in command. Like they work so well together. So we, when we were we were doing some demo stuff together, and he just crushes it. And like, so we asked him, you know, we had other producers we were looking at, but, you know, it was just seeing how well he did how well he worked as a producer and what we were creating in the recordings and stuff. And so we asked him to produce the album, and he crushed it. Like, he's an incredibly talented guy from Peterborough.
Right from here.
Yeah, man.
So where did you guys record it? Because some of those guys have studios around here. Where did you end up recording the new album with Neil?
So we ended up going into Jukasa, which is like a really top level, next level studio, just outside of the Hammer.
Oh, okay. And, Hamilton.
Yeah. So it was Neil who actually, so that's where 3 Days Grace, were doing did their last album. And, so Neil, like he had such a good connection with that studio, and that studio is just like top of the line, everything. But it also had apartments in the top of it, so we could live in the studio.
Oh, nice.
Which is the best thing, because when you're just in it the whole time, all of this sort of like these extra creative moments happen and stuff. And so we just love the idea. And so that's where we threw down. We had all this like really boutique-y stuff mixed with like hi-fi stuff as well. So the album has this like depth of this like boutique-y sort of like Sabbath sort of stuff Black Sabbath sort of like recording stuff, and then it also has this like the top end new stuff as well, and it's like this nice combination of all that stuff.
Well, that's really what I definitely what I would say is there's so much more sound now, especially with Pretty Little Broken Thing. I mean, it's there's so much more to it now with having a bass and with having everything else in it.
Yeah. Thanks, man. We're very proud of what we've done, and we had a blast putting it together. It was a lot of fun. Probably the funnest time we've ever had making an album.
Nice.
And like Neil was so great, and everybody was just having a blast. And I think that speaks to what we really produced at the end of the day. And we can't wait for the world to hear it, you know?
And I can't wait to see it. You guys are coming May the 19th. This is going to be a great show for you guys. And what should I look for now? You guys don't tour in that little Honda anymore, do you? Does Chuck rides in the back, does he?
Depends on the show. We rent a Honda. We rent one now.
Oh, nice.
We still have our tour van, our Dodge Grand Caravan. I shouldn't actually put it out there. Somebody might rip us off.
Yeah, they take
but
good
yeah,
care
we,
of
we,
you.
We do the smaller footprint of touring. Is that the cool way of saying it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Runs on biodiesel. You know, you just put old French fries in it. Works like a charm.
Still got chains on the tire for winter, you know. It's just trucking through Canada.
One end to the other, man. All right, yeah, Johnny.
Right.
I'll let you get back to your life and enjoy this beautiful day. And I swear I could talk to you about Oshawa and the Dungeon all day long. But
yeah, man.
I'll tell you this. All right, what was your favorite band name from the Dungeon? Because mine was Ritalin Milkshake.
Ritalin Milkshake. That's a good one.
They did a great cover of Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Can you think of one of those crazy band names from back in the day at the Dungeon?
I'm trying to remember. There's some ones I can't repeat. But,
oh, yeah.
But I think there was a band called Sorry in Advance.
Nice.
Yeah. If I remember correctly.
All right.
There were some great ones out there. Everybody's pushing the envelope.
May the 19th at the venue here in Peterborough. Can't wait for it. The Standstills. I can't wait to see you guys. Thanks a lot for talking to me today, Johnny.
Thanks for the call. Hey, this is Johnny of the Standstills. Just want to wish the Wolf 101.5 a happy 30th birthday. Ow!